So keep it locked. The Grow From Your Heart podcast starts now.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, now here we go. Welcome to the show, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 813 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. Hang out, because in this episode, we are going to give away free seeds. Before we talk about the free seeds, I do want to say thank you to all of the people who have been asking, where is the podcast? I've been on a restriction on YouTube for a couple of weeks, so I have not been able to post new episodes. I do apologize. YouTube did not like some of my older content, so they put me on punishment. I was on a little timeout. But I am back, and I am excited to be here back with you guys. Thank you to everybody who checked in on me. Also, big thanks to everybody who has been asking about iRedirect. iRedirect is currently under construction. We're working on a few things, doing some inventory, doing some updates, working on some stuff behind the scenes, doing some changes. Have no fear, I will have updates very soon. While iRedirect is down, I do recommend checking out the other vendors on iRegenetics.com. Of course, I highly recommend SeedsHereNow.com. Also, I want to send an update to everybody who contributed $25 in the month of August on Patreon. Everybody who contributed $25 on Patreon in the month of August was promised a free pack of seeds. If you did not get your free pack of seeds, please do send me an email. iRedirect went down right in the middle of that free seed giveaway, so I understand some people may have been screwed out of a pack of seeds. If that did happen to you, please send me a message, and I assure you I will get you the seeds that you are owed. Also, I do want to continue this party. Let's do another pack of seeds for the month of September. Anybody who contributes $25 or more to Patreon in the month of September will get a free pack of Whitechapel seeds. Of course, Whitechapel is a golden goat female pollinated by a Jack the Ripper male. That's a great strain. Lots of crazy terpenylene terps, a lot of lemon, lime, spicy, tropical fruit kind of terps, and an amazing crazy head buzz, and of course, big fat harvest. So check it out. That is Whitechapel. That is available to everybody who contributes $25 or more in the month of September on Patreon. That was a mouthful. I feel like I got past most of the business. I've got one more important thing to cover. Then we're going to jump into the email portion of today's podcast. The last order of business to cover on today's podcast before we get to these emails is to let you know that I will not do an episode next week. I'm going to take a small mini vacation. I'll be out of town for several days. I don't want to cram another episode in before I take off for my little trip. I want to just enjoy my week, enjoy my time off, not stress over a podcast. I think you guys will be just fine growing ganja without me. If you missed the podcast that much, go listen to some of the older episodes. There are 800 and something episodes to listen to. Go catch up on some older content. But for all the people that check on me when I don't put out a show, I'm going to skip an episode on purpose. I will not be here next week. I'm going to go on an adventure, on a little trip. I'm honestly going to go see Fish in Denver for 4 nights. My favorite band is Fish. They're doing 4 nights in Denver. I'm going to check out and go have some good times, go regroup and refresh a little bit. Then I'll be back in a week after that with the content that you are used to. So I think that is all of the business. Where do I want to go now? Let's talk about some really cool shit that's been happening in my garden. Recently, I popped a few new seeds. That's right, I moved some plants out. Time to move some new shit in. So I popped some new seeds. I have got some of my own crosses going, and I've got crosses from some other people going. I wanted to run some of my seeds so that I can open up my breeding projects and add some of my lines to the mix. And I also wanted to introduce brand new stuff. So what would we talk about? Let's tell you that I put some double dragon seeds in my veg room. They're seedlings. They're about this tall at this point. If you're only listening, I think that's 6 or 8 inches tall. They're little tiny babies, but they're looking good. There's some double dragon babies in there. What else could I tell you about? There are big mountain fudge cake babies in there. Those both came from my lineup. I think those are two great strains. Then also there is some Banana God version 2 from my buddy Masonic Smoker. Big shout out to Mace. Also big shout out to my buddy Billy Bong Smoking for giving me the pack. Also shout out to my buddy Terps. There was a conspiracy involved there in getting me that pack of Banana God. Terps and Billy Bong conspired, said that I should breed with the Banana God. Terps told Billy to buy me the pack. Billy got the pack from Mace. Billy handed me the pack at an event with a big smile on his face, and I knew what was supposed to happen from there. Have no fear, you guys. The banana god has been germinated and is growing strong, and it looks really good. There should be some great winners in that pack. I don't know if we'll find a male or a female. Hopefully there's a breeding candidate in there so we can do some breeding with the banana in the future. Also in this same run of seeds are some Jamaican lambs bred F4s that are growing, but they don't look as vigorous as the rest of the batch. I need to let them go a little longer. We'll see if they come around. I've recently fed them a little more heavily. I've also increased the DLI in that room to get them a little bit more light. We can see if we could turn those plants up just a little bit. But so far, the Jamaican lambs bred, those are kind of older seeds. They were kind of smaller, and those seeds aren't looking as good as the rest of the room. But those are the strains I'm going to tell you about in that room right now. There's the Double Dragon, there's Big Mountain Fudge Cake, there's Banana God, and there's the Jamaican Lamb's Bread. There might also be something else secret in that room, because I don't share everything. I got to have some secrets, but I like to let you know kind of what's going on in that grow room. Also, an update on that grow room. Here's something I really wanted to talk about. Recently, I purchased an iPhone app that is called Photone. Let me make sure that's really what it's called, because I just wrote down Photone off of memory. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the correct info. Yes, it is Photone, P-H-O-T-O-N-E. It is the Photone app in my iPhone. So the Photone app is basically a PAR meter or a DLI meter. You download the app, the application is free. Then you will need to buy an add-on for the app. Depending on what kind of light you have to buy an add-on for that spectrum. Not every spectrum comes for free, but it's like somewhere between $3 and $5. I don't remember what I paid. It didn't hurt at all. I just paid a couple of bucks to buy a download to have the appropriate spectrum for the lights I'm running in my room. So I downloaded the appropriate LED spectrum. Then it teaches you how to make a little light diffuser for your phone. You basically just wrap a piece of paper around your phone, and then you can use your phone as a light meter. You hold the light right at canopy level, and it will tell you your DLI. Then you can also use the internet or books or your common knowledge to dial in your lights to the appropriate DLI. I did notice once I got that DLI dialed in on my seedlings, they quit stretching, they started bushing out, and they look much better. So I highly recommend the Photone app for your iPhone. It was free other than the download. It was like somewhere between $4 and $5 for the download. You just double tap on the side of your phone, you'll download it. It installs right away. It's pretty quick. It only took a minute or two. The diffuser only took a few seconds to make. The taping it together was the hardest part because I'm clumsy. And then you just get in there and read the settings. I hold the phone at canopy level. I say, oh, it's too low. And then I go up to the LED light and I crank up the knob on the LED light until it gets to the reading, which I want it on my meter. It was super simple. I started off at 13, and over the past few days, I've slowly adjusted to 20. The plants are adjusting very well with the light. Once the plants get a little bit bigger, I'll turn it to 25. When they get bigger, I'll go to 30. We'll just slowly increase. And then by the end of flower, it should be somewhere between 45 and 55 DLI. Is what I expect I will hit by the end of flower. But I really do see an improved performance in my seedlings since I've got that DLI dialed in. So if you are experiencing things like stretchy, laggy seeds, or if the seeds are just growing too tall and tipping over, maybe, just maybe, probably, most likely, you need more light. And the way to determine that would be some sort of a light meter. Light meters are very expensive. They are not cheap at all. The Photone app is working very well with my iPhone, and it was, like I keep saying, it was about $4 or $5. If you are burning the tops of your plants, if your plants are looking yellow and crispy, or if they're getting bleached and turning white up at the top, if the top leaves are getting crispy but nothing else is, you may be giving those plants too much light, which doesn't seem possible because they go outside in the sun, right? But our grow lights are indoors. They're just a few feet away from the plant, so they're really punishing that plant all day long. So maybe, just maybe, perhaps you were giving your plant too much light, and a light meter would definitely be an easy way to tell you if those plants are getting too much light. Another thing I recommend when you play with a light meter, write it down. I've got an app in my phone. It's just basically the Notes app. I've got a note in my phone all about that grow room. Everything I do in that grow room gets documented in that note. So I know that on this day, I fed it this much food. On this day, I defoliated. On this day, I increased the DLI from 13 to 14. On the next day, increased it from 14 to 17. Document all of the things that you do in that room, especially when you were adjusting the light. That way, if you see them starting to act weird, you can look back and say, 4 days ago, I changed this light, and now things are going weird. Take as many notes as you possibly can. All right, I feel like I've been rambling on for a few minutes, and we have not gotten to everybody's favorite portion of the podcast, which of course is the grow help podcast. portion of the podcast. This is where I read your grow questions, and I do my best to give you some useful advice on how to improve your grow. Now, I did say earlier in the podcast that I'm going to give away free seeds. That's right, I'm going to give away free seeds, and the way to win free seeds is to send me a grow question. If you go to my website, iregenetics.com, there is a tab that says Grow Help. If you click on that Grow Help tab, you send me a question. If I read that question here on the podcast, I will send you a free pack of Irie Genetics premium seeds. Today's question came from my friend Pig Poop. What's up, brother? I hope all is well. Shout out to my buddy Pig Poop. Pig Poop's a good dude. He's a longtime Irie Army member and Irie Genetics supporter. He's also my friend. We hang out on Discord. We take dabs together. We talk about life. Pig Poop is just one really cool dude, so shout out to my buddy Pig Poop. Piggy's question goes a lot like this. It says, Rasta Jeff, I recently heard a theory that the sex of our plants is determined during the germination process and that cooler temperatures will give out more females. I've always believed that the seed sex has been genetically coded at the time of the breeding as the seeds are developing. What are your thoughts on this? And then it goes on. It says, can we germinate in cooler temperatures to get more females, or even just have our breeding tents cooler to get more female seeds? That is a very good question. I've heard a lot of different opinions on this. I've seen people say that germinating in lower humidity gives you more males, or germinating in lower humidity will give you more females. I've heard the opposite. I've heard about higher temperatures. I've heard about lower temperatures. I have heard all kinds of gimmicks and ideas and tricks and bro science behind this. Here is my two cents, and this is just my understanding based on my experience. If you've got a different idea, a different approach, different bro science, different white papers than me, hook me up. Let me know. I am very open to ideas and feedback. Argue about it in the comments right down below, or send me an email at growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. I love feedback. I love the conversation. Keep it going. But here is my two cents, and here is why I think that. I strongly believe that the pollen determines the sex of the seed. Now, why do I say that? What is my supporting evidence? Every statement should have some supporting statements, right? Why do I believe that? Because I make feminized seeds. When I make feminized seeds, what am I making? What is the main ingredient? Feminized pollen. The pollen I'm starting with is a female. That is the feminized ingredient. So that makes me think that the pollen is the one deciding the sex of the plant. It could be before the pollen. Something before the pollen could be determining that. But from what I see, what I am making fem seeds by creating female pollen, by creating pollen from a plant with only female chromosomes. So I feel like if I can make female pollen and put that on a female plant, any female plant I put that on, I'm going to create female seeds, right? So in my mind, in my theory, that says to me that the pollen is doing the selection. The pollen contains that female chromosome or the male chromosome. The pollen is the one carrying the deciding factor. The gender reveal comes with the pollen. Now, like I said, I don't have any real science behind that. My science is that I make fem seeds. I'm making fem pollen. I'm not doing anything to the female plants that receive the pollen. I am manipulating the pollen donor to give me female pollen. So in my mind, it's the pollen. If you have some sort of different varying opinion, I am very open to hearing that. I'd love to be educated if there's a different education on this. Like I said, get at it in the comments or send me an email, growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. So now let me make another supporting statement. Since I talked about breeding with fems, if I breed with another plant that is not feminized, it is spitting out pollen, right? And that pollen will hit plants and it will make males and females, right? Most of the time you get 50-50. So that says that pollen is making male and female plants to me, and that the feminized pollen is mad. So again, that just supports my statement. So I really do believe that the pollen is the one carrying the chromosome. And like I said a moment ago, the pollen is the one with the big gender reveal. That's the one that lets you know if you're a boy or a girl when it hits that stamen, climbs down into the ovule, and it goes boy or girl, and it starts making that in there, fills up your bract with the seed, and then you get to grow it and find out later. But I've been rambling on long enough about that one. My dude Pig Poop, I really do believe that it is the pollen. And like I said, I'm very open to arguments, conversation, and education. Pig Poop, I do owe you another free pack of seeds, my dude. I've got your address. Check the mail in just a couple of days. All right, let's keep moving. I've got a lot of great questions here in front of me. This one came from somebody who wants to be called Giant Grasses. Big shout out to Giant Grasses. Giant Grasses, please send me your shipping address with a real name, because you did win a free pack of Irie Genetics premium seeds. This question goes a lot like this. It says, "Yo, Rasta Jeff, how would you go about reversing an outdoor plant? Since things become to bloom slower outdoors, I'm just wondering about the timing of my silver thiosulfate sprays. The plants have been stretching outdoors. The bud should be showing before too long. Thank you for your help." This is a very good question. They're asking about making feminized seeds in an outdoor garden and an outdoor run. They said, how would you go about reversing an outdoor plant? My quick answer is I wouldn't. I just simply wouldn't do that. Reversed plants don't make enough pollen, in my opinion, to really make it worth reversing an outdoor plant. That's a project I would rather keep indoors, because outdoors, a lot of that pollen is just going to blow away in the wind. And I need as much of that feminized reversed pollen as I can get, because the plants don't make as much as a regular male plant would make when it dumps. We're manipulating a plant, depending on how much you spray it. It's plant dependent, but you're not going to make as much pollen in my experience. So I would not do it, but let me try to help you out and tell you, if you insist, this is how it would probably work the best for you. When we are applying silver thiosulfate to a plant for a reversal, we need to start applying that solution about 10 days before that plant goes into flower. So the only way to really determine that is to grow that plant last year and mark down the date when you started seeing it show signs of flower. And then about 10 days before that, then maybe 10 days before that, start spraying that plant. Because if you're seeing signs of flower, you're about 10 to 14, maybe 15 days in. That tells you 2 weeks ago I went into flower, which means 10 days before that is when you need to spray. So I would document what you did last year. Hopefully you wrote it down. When did the plant go into flower last year? Or write down when you noticed the plant was showing signs of flower this year. Here in Colorado, it's fairly easy for us. A lot of the plants will start showing signs of pre-flower, just going into flower around August 15th, which means flowering day one is usually August 1st. In some plants and some cultivars, it takes till the end of August to show a little bit of pre-flower, but many of them, most of them, they start August 15th. You can really see that pre-flower coming on. That tells me that August 1st was probably the day they really started to flower, which means 10 days before that was when I needed to apply my silver thiosulfate solution for the first time. You're going to need to hit it day negative 10 is what we're going to call that. And then day one, and then also 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21. And if you're outdoors, I'd probably go day 24 also. But the timing of that is going to be weird, because the problem outdoors is because now your male is spitting pollen around day 32. It would have been nicer to have the females a little further along into flower to receive more pollen. They're not going to have the ideal amount of pistils to receive that pollen. They will impregnate, they will make seeds, but you could have made more if the timing was better. That's why I recommend doing this indoors. First of all, that pollen's going to get away. And then second of all, the timing isn't going to be as good as it could have if you did it indoors. Making reg seeds outdoors isn't as critical, because you dump so much more pollen outdoors. That male plant's ready to go. He's just dumping right away. The female plants will, every granule of pollen will make a seed. It's hard to make enough pollen unless you're reversing multiple plants. For every one male you would do two reversals. That way you get enough pollen out there to make it worth it. So where was I? I got off on a nice ramble there. I wouldn't do it outdoors, but if you do, spray it day negative 10. I know if you didn't flower it out last year, you don't know when that date will be. Maybe ask around. Maybe ask local ganja farmers around there. Say, hey, when do we go into flower here? Use your best judgment and adjust from what they say. Whenever day one they say is, go that negative 10, spray then, and then start your routine every third day for about 24 days. Then you're going to have the problem of the pollen flying away. Then we're going to have the problem of a bird is going to land on that plant and fucking shake all of your pollen off too early. You're going to pollinate all the girls too early. I would keep the feminized breeding projects indoors unless you insist on doing this. If you've got a greenhouse environment where you control the airflow and control things, that may be more ideal. But what I would almost recommend is flowering the reversal indoors, collecting the pollen, and then putting it on those plants outdoors if that's really what you insist on doing. Anyway, my friend Giant Grasses, I really do hope I helped you out here. This was a fun question. I love talking about reversals and fem seeds. And please do send me your shipping address, because I owe you a free pack of Irie Genetics premium seeds. When you send me your shipping address, again, please send me a real address with a real name so that I don't have to send seeds to somebody like Wild Bill's Ganja Farm or something like that. that. I don't like that. Send me a real name with a real address. I'll keep it secret. You'll be safe. I ship discreetly. Let's help each other out. All right. Let's keep the momentum moving because I do have another great question here in front of me. This one came from our friend Dankosaurus. What's up, Dankosaurus? Hope you're doing well. What do you call Dankosaurus's dog? Dankosaurus Rex, right? That's good. All right. This is a general grow question that did come from the Irie Genetics website on the Grow Help tab, which means my buddy Dankosaurus, you do win a free pack of Irie Genetics premium seeds. Send me your address again with the real name and I'll get you a free pack of seeds in the mail ASAP. This question goes just like this. It goes, yo, what's up, Rasta Jeff? What's up, Dankosaurus? I hope you're well, my bro. It says, I'm a longtime podcast listener and a Discord lurker. Bro, I've seen you on there. That's why I know your name. It says, first off, I'd like to say thank you for all of the great genetics you have created and all of the great content which you have put out. Dude, you are so welcome. Thank you for the great compliments. That sort of stuff keeps me moving. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you a lot. It goes on. It says, you truly are a teacher when it comes to cannabis. I appreciate that. Then it says, now to my question. I have several keepers from a few different breeders. Some have it all, bag appeal, smell, potency, and some are just good for their medicinal values. That matters also. It says, one of my favorites is your Dark Hollow. That is such a great strain. If you like that funky, garlicky, mashed potato-y, bar trash can, funky sort of terp, that is a great one. It says, I am not a breeder and not even really a pollen chucker, but I would like to cross the Dark Hollow into some of the other keepers just to see how they will turn out. I love it when I inspire people with a good strain. It inspires them to want to chuck that pollen. That's how you know. Sometimes people are like, how do I pick a plant to breed with? This is how. You just fucking know. You're like, this plant right here, bro, it talks to you. It says something to you like a crazy person. That's how you know to breed with that one. Follow that intuition, you guys. That always works. It goes on. It says, I'd really like to cross the Dark Hollow. If you were to look for a Dark Hollow male to breed with, what attributes would you look for? I know what to look for in a female, but judging males is a whole different deal. I know that's probably just going to be a trial and error kind of deal, but I figure the best way to start would be to ask the man himself. This is a very good question. I really like this one. It says, anyway, my man, thanks for your time and all you do for the community. I look forward to any advice you may be able to give. Thanks in advance. My bro, I've got a lot of male selection advice. First of all, I've done a full podcast on selecting male plants. It's like a 40-minute episode just on selecting males. I would give that a quick listen, or maybe a 45-minute listen, unless you can time travel. Put it on 2X, make it a 27-minute listen, right? Anyway, I am rambling, but I would recommend checking out the Male Selection Podcast. I'm not trying to shine you on. I'm not trying to blow you off, but that podcast has been done, and it was very good with a lot of great info. Now let's focus here specifically on the breeding with Dark Hollow, because that is a great plant to breed with and to work with. It's going to pass along a lot of great traits. Dark Hollow is a GMO female. GMO is known to get fairly tall, kind of stretchy, a lot of long internode spacing, and a lot of big, giant leaves with a lot of dark colors, and the aromas and flavors are so disgustingly delicious on the GMO. I love it, but it does get kind of tall and it's super potent. It does get kind of tall and it needs a lot of attention when you grow it. So I crossed that one to my Arise, my King Solomon cut of Arise. That is a Golden Goat to Daybreaker. My Arise plant, my King Solomon plant is very well known as a male breeding plant. He adds vigor. He adds structure. He adds potency. He adds aroma. He adds flavor. He adds everything you're missing from any cross you could ever need. So I crossed the GMO to the Arise that made Dark Hollow. Some of those phenotypes are going to be kind of taller. If you're going to breed with it, I would find one that is not super tall. I'd find one of the shorter, wider branching phenotypes. So you can pass on that shorter, more branchy phenotype, that more branchy trait to the progeny, because that tall one is going to make even taller plants. So one of the first traits I would look for is a shorter, branchier plant with closer internodal spacing compared to the tall, stretchier plants. The tall, stretchy one is going to be way more GMO dominant. The shorter, squatty one is going to be a Rise GMO cross. It'll have some Golden Goat traits in there. It will breed very beautifully. Also, look for the one with the really big, dark colored leaves. There will be leaves on some phenotypes that are as big as my hand that'll turn like plum purple colors. Use that phenotype for breeding. And I would also give it a nice stem rub and look for the one that kind of smells like early in flower. It should smell like baby shit and vomit and bar trash can. And as it gets older, it should turn into like Garlic and fuel, garlic and jet fuel, garlic and gas kind of is the aroma that I would look for a breeding, a potential breeding male from the Dark Hollow progeny. Now, once you've selected that Dark Hollow male, what I would recommend is to breed it to multiple females and try to find female plants that are as far different in traits, like in structure, aroma, flavor, leaf size and shape, even color of the plant. Breed it to stuff as far away from those traits as you can. That way, when we grow out those seeds, we can see what they did together. And then grow out multiple seeds of each cross. Like if you did, what else do you have in the room? Did you tell me what other strains? No, you didn't tell me what else you have. But if you've got Dark Hollow to Ice Cream Cake and Dark Hollow to Cherry Paloma and Dark Hollow to Big Mountain Fudge Cake, grow all those out and see what traits from the Dark Hollow crossed, carried into each cross, and see how much ice cream cake you get in this cross. See which Dark Hollow ice cream cake traits sort of mixed, and then see, what else did I say? Cherry Paloma. See what Dark Hollow and Cherry Paloma did. I think somebody may have bred that already. That's going to be fire. But see how much of that garlic comes out, and how much of that cherry, or how much of that orange turp comes out. And then the other one that I forgot what I even fucking said over here. See what traits and flavors come out. Then we can see what the boy is doing to different crosses. We can see if the short structure comes through on all of these, that means he's passing that. If some of them are really tall and really short, that means that he's not passing a lot of his height trait to the progeny. If they all smell like mashed potatoes, he's passing that trait. This way we can learn what traits he gives to his mix. And then we can see if he mixes well with others, if he plays well with others. Then we can continue breeding with that once we kind of see what it does. It's like finding out... It's like tasting the first batch of the mix. It's like tasting the first half of the batter. Does it taste like chocolate, vanilla, cinnamon? If it tastes like chocolate, don't breed it to more chocolate. Breed it to vanilla. If it tastes like vanilla, breed it to cinnamon. You know what I mean? Find out what you're working with, then learn where to go from there with your breeding. Bro, I got super rambling on this question. I hope I helped you out. I would look for the short one with the tighter node spacing, the giant dark leaves, the colorful leaves, the bar trash can smell, that puke, acrid, gross kind of aroma, one that dumps a lot of pollen. And if it makes trichomes, that is the one to work with. All right, my dude Dankosaurus, I do want to thank you once again for the great question. Also, make sure you send me your shipping address so I can get you a free pack of seeds. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if I did not read your question on this episode, please do not feel discouraged. I have got a mountain of emails in front of me that I do plan on getting on the show eventually. It just takes time, and there are always new messages coming. So be patient. Keep sending your grow questions to me at that grow help tab at iregenetics.com. And if I do read your question on the show, you will win a free pack of iregenetics premium seeds. All right, everybody, that is all I've got for you for this episode. My throat is burning out. I think it's time to start wrapping up. I'll be back next week with fresh new content. Please make sure you check out my Patreon campaign at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Once again, everybody who does contribute $25 or more in the month of September on Patreon will receive a free pack of Whitechapel premium seeds. Again, that Whitechapel is a golden goat female pollinated by a Jack the Ripper male. That's an amazing cross with a super cool name. Make sure you check out Patreon. If you have any other questions, send me an email. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Anything else you could possibly need is on my website, iregenetics.com. You guys, my voice is burning out. It's been a great time. I'm glad to be back. I'll see you in 2 weeks. A minute ago, I said I'll see you in a week. Correction, cross that out. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm going to go have a good time. Hey, if you see me at the Phish concerts, come up and give me a hug. Give me a high five. Give me a fist bump. Don't be the guy that emails me on Tuesday and says, hey, bro, I saw you at the Phish shows. I did not come say hi. Bro, come say hi. Come shake my hand. You never know. A lot of times I've got seed packs in my pocket. I might not be able to get the Mylar packs into the concert, but on the parking lot, outside, wherever, there's a good chance I've got seeds in my pocket. Come say hi. All right, the show is officially over at this point. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Robot Dave. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Big up yourself every time, Rusty Jeff.